Okay, we're going to reconvene right now. We're already late in reconvening. I gave you an extra double time. Stop right now. We are now beginning the treasurer's report. I'm handing it over to Barbara. This is beginning right now.
Okay. The treasurer's report is going to be all... We're going to distribute a new kind of report we haven't had before, and I'll tell you that it's very time-consuming to do, but it's being produced this time because of all the continuing questions about the income and expenses for the speaker events series. So this is a report that Maria is handing out right now about the this current fiscal year speakers, and it has more information about what the expenses are. For instance, last month, we gave you just a very bare bones thing about for ticket sales, how much each event brought in, and for the expenses of putting on that event, how much those were. So we had a net figure. Most of the events made money, and a couple did not. However, we've added more information here about the kinds of the CDs and the DVDs that were produced at each event and then sold as premiums. So that is additional income, the net would be, of for each of these events and for the whole program. This is, if you'll look at the beginning page, there's a on the very left column, it says totals. This is the totals for all of the 14 programs that we've had so far in this fiscal year. And then as you read to the right, we go through each program by its date order. So just looking at the totals column, all together so far, for ticket sales, it's been over $50,000. The expenses for these 14 events have been over $33,000, or over $17,000. So there's over $33,000 net income just looking at the sale of tickets versus the expense of putting on the events. Now, below that, it says premiums from events, and that's CDs and DVDs. And there was a gross figure for these 14 events earned of a little over $42,000. This is on the front page. We're looking at the left-hand column for totals. And a little over $4,000 of production expenses for making the CDs and DVDs. So that's a net additional income for the series of 14 events of almost $38,000. So after you add together this figure, 33,520, which was just the sale of tickets and the expenses of putting on the event, and then you add the $37,875 of income for premiums that were sold during fund drives, we can look at a gross figure or net figure of for this whole program of over $71,000. So now let's look at some of these particular programs. The first one, Edgewood Dandicott, if you see, there was a net income of $850 for the event itself. This was a program that only sold one premium, and however, the expense for producing the premium was $300. So there was a loss of $226 on the premium part of the program for this particular event, but it's still netted over $600 for that event. Now, that's one of them that has the least income, and I think we should skip to pay the third page and look at Richard Wolf. It's event number 6 on January 15th. And so this, if you compare this particular event with the first one I talked about, you'll see a big spread of variety of kinds of income and kinds of expenses. So Richard Wolf's tickets brought in over $7,000. Putting on the event cost over $3,000. So there was a good $3,000 left just at the income, net income for the event itself. However, his CDs and DVDs numbered 344. So you can see that that part of that event raised us over $27,000. So if you look at the very bottom line, that means the Richard Wolf event netted KPFA almost $31,000. So you can look through all the various programs on this, in this report, and see individually what they were. There's something that might be just a little confusing in the top half, where we're talking about the ticket sales and the expenses. There is one item in there about production. At that point, that cost is for producing the sound for the speaker at the event. When you skip to the bottom section about premiums and CDs and DVDs, there's another production expense.
I don't see production.
It says sound tech.
It says sound tech. Yeah. And so the production in the bottom half is the production costs related to producing the CDs or DVDs. Now, the last page, and some of you will have this last section on one page and some of it will be on two. This is some more information about premiums that we've earned money on. There happens to be some premiums that were sold by people who spoke in a previous fiscal year. So Nomi Prince event is not in this in the first pages, but in fact there were premiums sold during the spring fund drive from her. Then there are also the speech packs and the jump drives. And so these are things that are either combinations that were offered as premiums or some premiums that were sold during these fund drives where the speakers were from a previous fiscal year. So I'd like to say that Maria went to a great deal of trouble to do this report. And as you've all heard about how stressed staff are and trying to get everything done, this is not a report which we can do all the time. And I think if you see now the kind of expenses that are listed for each event, anybody who has some question about a particular event, say you attend an event and it isn't very well attended, or it's very well attended, and you'd like to know something more particular about it, then we would ask that you speak to Maria, try to make an appointment to come in and just look at the report that's turned in, because these reports are made on the spot when the event happens. So, yes.
First, thank you very much for this. It's very helpful. I have two questions. One, is this based on data that has been completely entered, or are there other, is there other? I'm just...
Our data has been entered in our accounting system.
Okay, yes. So you're saying yes. And then I'd also, I'm assuming, well, there are HR costs. There are staff costs.
There is a half-time coordinator for this program.
Right. So I would like to know, not necessarily right now, but at some point in the future, maybe for the next report, if that could be factored in, those costs could be factored in.
Well,
as expenses.
It would be a little unusual because we do have a staff, the salaries, and the half-time person is one of many half-time and part-time
people.
I'm just
saying,
there.
You know, some
and
way
we don't,
of...
It would be revealing a person's personal information that we just don't do.
We all make the same wage at KPFA. We've got a union contract. There's no mystery.
Can I make
half-time.
A comment, please, on the salary? You can see that after 14 events, there's $71,000 in net income. And I would seriously doubt that one half-time person would make over $71,000. And, yes, they all make approximately the same amount of money. But...
Okay, there's not an argument. Everybody breathe. Wait a minute, hold on. Everybody breathe. Okay. And, all right.
Full benefits cost $7,000.
Joy.
Virginia Browning, HR expert.
First of all, I'd like to thank you ladies for the work. I know how hard this is, really. I really appreciate you going through extra effort to satisfy our curiosity about what it's costing us to put on these events. And there's a lot of value to them. I don't think there's any description or the argument or dispute about the value of it. What I am concerned about is the politics of it, in that who we are getting to talk, who is giving what promotion. You have nothing to do with it. I know it has nothing to do with the finances. I just want to point out that part of the issue, the reason why this came up, was because of the equity of resources in this station to serve the different communities. So I just want to make that comment. That's not the question I'm going to ask. But I agree with Janet. Some of these, I'm curious to know how you broke out postering, promo, printing, and is that being done by a staff person who's being paid to do it, or are we paying some additional person to do this stuff as well? So that's, I was just curious to how you came to this formula of giving us the information we're asking for.
The information is right there. There's a vendor.
It's not a staff.
It's not a staff member. It's a vendor. So FCCB is first...
Congregational Church of Berkeley.
Cal Copy.
YPS. I see the list. And you're saying we're paying someone to poster for us?
The events do, yes.
It's a professional organization that Berkeley has a lot of regulations that say the posters can only stay up for so long and they have to come down after a certain amount of time, blah, 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 blah. So we pay, it's called Your Daily Staple, and I just abbreviated YDS. And that's
okay. And so the printing, other, and co-sponsor?
The details, that's the summary. That left column is the summary. The details are all to the right. The co-sponsoring, there was Richard Wolf. It was co-sponsored by Democracy at Work. And they got $2,500 of the event revenue.
Okay. Thank you.
And one more thing. I'm sorry. One more thing regarding personnel. There are many volunteers that are help with this event. So those people, none of the people who introduce and MC or host the event. Nobody gets paid on that respect.
Okay, I think we're going to move on to the next part of the treasurer's report.
All right, here's the long-awaited financial statement, and Maria's passing it out, and she's going to, if she can manage it, lead this discussion. She's much more, it's in her blood.
Okay, go ahead.
I'd just like to say, first off, before Maria starts with this, I want you all to look at the note at the bottom of the first page. And please, before you start picking this apart, realize that this is, in fact, an interim report, a draft report, a preliminary report, and it's the kind of thing that Janet was bringing up a while ago, saying if the CFO could just give us something, even though it's not perfect and it's not complete, we got to know something. And that's not uncommon in accounting and keeping track of your records, but I do know that when the CFO first was hired, he did provide such a report, and people ripped him apart because it was so incomplete. But he gave us the information that he could recover from the data system. So keep this in mind. This is giving us a picture. Yes, it's not perfect. We shouldn't waste a lot of time arguing about whether something is perfect here. This is a very... thorough as it can be now. And I turn it over to Maria.
Okay, I just before I start, I want to just a tiny little accounting 101. When an invoice comes into your office, you open it up, you prepare it, you input it into the system, and it sits there and it waits, whether it takes 10 days to have to pay it or it's a 45-day. But you can't identify, number one, what your payables are, how much you owe, and how much expense you're creating without those invoices being in the system. There is not a one invoice right now sitting in the business office at KPFA that has not been input into the system. Cash receipts, same thing. I was accused of embezzling $70,000. That money goes into the bank. It does not sit anywhere. It doesn't sit in my bank account, that's for sure. Yeah. The one delay was inputting it into the system. Done. Completely done. So there is no question there. It's very difficult, Janet, to produce financial statements in the case of National Office without having all of that data input into the system. You just can't do it. So anyway, just want to kind of identify that. The listener support here, and I did an 8-month just one total because there's another issue in terms of the budget, but that's a whole other discussion.
The budget template,
yes. Anyway, so the listener support, as you could see, we're doing better than we had budgeted for at that time. Corporate match, we're a little below. Major donor, I don't know, by the grace of some higher power, we always tend to get money coming in with major donors. We're a little higher on regular donations as well. We are a little bit low on car donations. Community events is making money. Crafts fair is like basically, on budget. CPB money, just as Brian said, we don't have, first of all, National Office is the one who normally books this. Regardless, I could book it if I knew how much it was going to be, but it would be a complete guess. The one note, like Barbara said down at the bottom, National Office not having input any of their bills or done the reconciliations with intercompany, the bill back expenses are not there. Those are considered like the central services expenses. Pension has not been booked. Salary hasn't been booked for the months of March. Well, this is through May, but it's March, April, May, June have not been booked. I took the reports that we get every pay period that I request and we keep a record of in our office and tried to input the numbers as best as possible. I cannot vouch for the accuracy of those numbers, so they're the best I could do. Central Services is a very straightforward 17.5% and 2%, 2.5%, excuse me, 17% and 2.5%.
Have you turned the page?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I tend to do that. Yes, I turned the page. So moving down to the last third of the page, again, salaries, it's as best as I could do. So health benefits are paid for at KPFA. A lot of the stations the health benefits are paid for by the national office and then billed back to the stations. KPFA has been paying their own our own health benefits for quite a while. The third page over, elections, that's an obvious why we don't have that. Consultants, that's Goldbusters, and we are under budget on that. Telephone and radio lines, we are a little over budget. We're still waiting for our new telephone system, which supposedly is going to, well, not supposedly, it will cut our costs significantly. Let's see. I'm just trying to think of what might be repairs and maintenance. our station certainly does need a little bit of a sprucing up here and there. I'm just kind of going down. It's this almost at the bottom of the third page. Yeah. Let's see. I don't see anything that, tapes and supplies were significantly under budget. That's on the fourth page. Premiums is like so close to being on budget. And our subscriptions department does an exceptional job at creating premiums for us at a very minimal cost. And crafts fair and community events, the last two lines were very, oops, I'm sorry, there is a math error there, but you can see that it's very close to budget.
Which?
On the last page.
Here.
Yes.
What?
The budget part, I'm sorry, has a little issue.
The last two lines.
Yes, the over and under. But that's, right now we have a significant surplus, but once again, some of the expenses are not input from national office, so such as pension, such as insurance, and I don't know what other else. So it looks like a significant surplus, and we right now are at, I forgot to tell Barbara the number, but at a mere $90,000 in the bank. And you would wonder why there is, a surplus in the financials and no money in the bank. And that is because, unfortunately, we continuously give money to pay, quote unquote, central services. However, like Brian said, the national office is trying to do a reconciliation of intercompany. We did do our own reconciliation with national office. Actually, Barbara was a huge help on that. And we, it looks like with our preliminary reconciliation, we have overpaid 2013 $158,000. So doesn't matter how much surplus you show on paper. When the money is just taken out of your hands, that's, you know. So where I'm very anxiously looking for the intercompany reconciliation, especially the one with archives as well. The other thing about archives is, you know, we give them the 2.5%, but they continue to ask us to do additional fundraising days. That, to me, does not seem very fair, but, you know, that's money that we're not, it's not ours. We'd be fundraising for them. So anyway, that's pretty much it. I mean, I could have a lot of stuff I could say, but.
And haven't they added staff?
Oh, PRA, yes. PRA is at 7 full-time employees.
And Janet.
They're a cost.
What I'm going to do, I think, is what we do when we're taking questions. I'm going to take a series of people's questions, and then we're going to hand it back. So, Janet, Joy, Craig.
So, can you point to where Goalbusters costs would show up?
Consultants.
Okay, and where is that?
It is on the third page, second line under administrative expenses.
But can you give the number?
Sorry, 6,300. It's on the third page, just about a quarter of the way down.
The heading is administrative expenses, then it's the second line.
I guess we're not going to do three and then answer. We'll just go back and forth. Joy.
So I'm curious as to why the consultants didn't go into the development category.
It probably should have. We have consult. That's where I don't determine where these are. The expenses are under the categories. That's something that National Office has created long ago.
Okay. Thank you.
Craig.
two questions, I guess, one a little more general and a couple specific. So let me start with the specific ones. On page 4, it's the middle section, programming expenses. It's that section that begins line number 6571 or account number and so forth. I'm just wondering if you know what explains the savings under the news services, the Reuters, that's 6670, and website expenses 6698, a little ways below, and then below that is FSRN 6702. There are tens of thousands of dollars in savings in each item, and I'm just wondering if you know what accounts for that. And then my more general question is, I guess, as I understand what you're saying, back on page 1, the very top, our surplus is about $215,000, but we don't know what the pension hit and, I mean, the other costs. So those will be cutting that amount down. And then also the central services payments, are those included in the surplus, or is that surplus going to be diminished even further because of these central service payments that I guess we're continuing to make or over and above our 17%? How does that figure in?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, when it comes to Reuters, well, 6670, the news services, we currently do not have Reuters. We have only Associated Press. News department's not particularly happy about that, but right now that's the way it is. Website expense, yes, we have not had much in terms of doing some improvements to our website. That's basically it, just less less use of the website consultant or contractor, therefore less expenses. FSRN and is there's a note right under there. It says note restricted CPB CSG funds were not yet were excuse me are yet unknown. The way it works is that on the first page, if you look
at the bottom of that
total
section,
programming expenses, then to the right under the numbers.
So if you look at where it's 6702 is FSRN, and then you look a little further down, I have a footnote, note restricted CPB CSG funds are yet unknown. The way that works is that if you look on the first page, count 5802, that's the restricted portion of the CPB money. And if we don't know what the CPB grant is, we can't book the expense either. That basically zeroes out anyway. You get the money coming in, and you show it as revenue, and then you send the money to FSRN, and it zeroes out anyway. Let's see. So I answered those three questions. Was that clear? Okay.
Does that mean there have been no payments to FSRN?
The payments are made to FSRN by national office. This is really just a bookkeeping thing. It's just money going, or dollars.
Our portion,
just KPFA's portion. The other stations have the exact same thing. But the money is distributed by national office. And then in terms of the surplus I think the question was on central services. Central services is a mere percentage of your listener support and corporate match. So the very top of page 2 shows the expense for listener support central services. Anything we pay above and beyond really is what we call a balance sheet item. It's just money coming out, and we book it to intercompany, which means that, try to explain it in a, yes, please.
So our accounting system is accrual-based? Do you know the difference between cash and accrual accounting? Okay. Cash accounting is probably how you do your household, balance your checkbook, right? When money goes out, you book it. Accrual accounting says when you get the bill, you book it, even if you don't pay it for 6 months. You get the difference? So this reflects essential services we've been billed for, not all the money that we've actually advanced. So that's cash out of our account, but it's not reflected in our income statements. Does that make sense? So basically, you're asking, does it come off our surplus? It doesn't. The surplus shows you, are we operating at a surplus? But this doesn't care whether we have dollars in our bank account or IOUs from Pacifica, because they're all assets. Yeah. That's how the document works.
I guess that gets to my question, which is this a phantom number, or is this something we can work with in terms of analyzing our budget for the coming year?
Well, you have to. The report that's missing that Brian is talking about is the cash flow report, which relates to, you know, how well you're keeping up with what's budgeted, what's entered as data that's going to be paid or has been paid. And the amount of surplus also is continually affected by income in the future plus ongoing expenses.
So I think what Brian is trying to say is that, you know, if you owe your uncle money, and you've already paid it, but now your uncle's asking you for money, Your debt is over with because you've paid it, but now you're overpaying your uncle because he needs money. So that's no longer an expense to you. It's, you know, you're just giving out money. And like I said earlier, in 2013, we estimate that about $158,000 was overpaid in central services. So that is, and bill backs. That is not an expense to us because we didn't gain anything from that. We just gave out more money than service was given to us.
In theory, they still owe it to us.
Yeah. Yes.
That's why it's
yes.
on the balance sheet.
Yeah, it's a receivable. And the term that we get, well, we'll just put it against your future central services. The problem is that the future just never gets here. We just keep, the hole gets bigger and bigger and deeper and deeper. And I often say that this is my opinion, I often say that our East Coast stations is like having a drug addicted relative because we just keep giving money and nothing ever gets any better. So with $90,000 in the bank right now, we apparently are the richest station. And $90,000 does not carry very far at all. So once again, we have been requested for money. I don't know if you know that yet. We've been asked to contribute $13,000 for payroll. So to cover another station.
Well, that's not part of this report, I don't think.
No, but it's part of the financial report.
Okay.
So anyway, I don't know if there are any other questions.
Seeing none.
One clarification for Craig. This $215,000, no, you can't count on that to help budget for future year because we don't have a lot of the expenses from national office, such as the pension and such. So we're still in a holding pattern, basically.
Okay. I think...
On the election expenses, is that like $19,786 just for KPFA alone?
Our election expenses in total can come up to about $47,000 per year for election. But this is an eight-month budget, but we have yet to spend anything because we don't have any elections.
Oh, you're saying $47,000 for an entire year?
For a whole one election cost us about $47,000.
Just us.
Just us.
And that's what it cost back in 2012?
The last election, yeah, whenever it was.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Between 43, 47, I mean, you know, give or take. 40 plus.
Oh, boy.
Okay. All right. Think we are finished with the agenda, the treasurer report and the special order of business, the review of the financial statement. We did the PNB report, so we're now for the CAB report. Carol?
Hi. Carol Wolfley with the Community Advisory Board. And the CAB held its third town hall meeting at the Eastside Arts Alliance on June 21st. I think you all have copies of the report in front of you. I passed them around. We shared KPFA literature and information about how to connect with KPFA. Listeners requested a topic group and expressed their ongoing opposition to the elimination of the morning mix and concern about Uprising as a program which is Los Angeles-based, and expressed an urgent need for local community programming during prime time and on the news. There was a group conversation about with local youth who attended the meeting about music and programming, and there was a whole group planning for the upcoming KPFA Programmers and Community Action get-together in September. Two upcoming meetings. The CAB is sponsoring the meeting I just mentioned in September. Saturday or Sunday afternoon in one of the last 2 weeks of September so that we can bring KPFA programmers and people working on the shows and people on the air together with community organizations and individuals so that they can meet, get to know each other, and develop working relationships. When we talk to people in the community, they just really love hearing what the programmers are doing and want to know how they can connect. If there's something active in their community that they're really working on, how can they connect? And there's a lot of different programmers who are working on a lot of different topics. So the idea would be for them to come together and meet. And so we have developed a form to request information and organizational support from our KPFA community. And that means all of you, if you're willing to help us. And underneath the top sheet, you'll find a request form. And that is describing the program that we hope to have. And it asks for your input on days that would be the best choice for one of those last 2 weeks of September, either Saturday or Sunday, and if you have a preference for Saturday, for evening or afternoon, it asks what programmers, and there's some programmers here, we'd love you to be at the meeting, and it also asks for community organizations that you know that you work with that would be good to invite. So part of the idea with this is that to build the kind of information that the CAB needs to know what the community wants and who is actively interested in the community, in KPFA, and in the kind of programming that KPFA can provide. We want to provide opportunities to meet lots of people from lots of organizations and to facilitate that kind of outreach, because we're in a different time now than we were 10 years ago. There's a lot happening, a lot that got brought up during the Occupy movement about the consciousness about the 99%, and we're still kind of riding on that wave, and we want to see who in the community is active in many, many, many different organizations. We also, I'm going to skip on down. CAB is going to work to sponsor a training workshop addressing issues of racial equality in KPFA, similar to the one that was done with the LSB, and we welcome your participation in that. Follow-up on Oakland First Fridays, Richard Perotsky asked CAB members to work with Maria Negrette, our business manager for KPFA, and work on arrangements with Oakland First Friday for the purpose of partnering with them as a sponsor and to have a regular CAB outreach and CAB table at First Friday, and we hope to continue to work with Maria on that. And we are in a process of considering and discussing how we work together on issues that involve conflict and division at KPFA as a CAB. And we reviewed the KPFA and CAB documents on CAB, including parts of Section 9396K8 of the Communication Act, which provides that the board will be permitted to review the programming goals and also deal with policy decisions, whether programming and policies of the station are meeting the specialized educational and cultural needs of the communities, and that we are seeking ways to get effective community input to the station. And I want to skip down to that last part that says that we are interested in addressing the specific needs of the community that we endeavor to serve, and that we are in the San Francisco Bay Area. We have very specific needs in our community historically because of the makeup of the communities and the demographics, as well as our history as an activist community. So the next community advisory board meeting will be Sunday, July 20th, and we're going to be at the Grassroots House at 2022 Blake Street in Berkeley. Hope you can. We hope to meet there regularly as it is more accessible to the public. So, any questions?
Margie. Use the microphone, please.
Here, I'm a microphone. Thank you. A microphone. And it's on? Oh, well, yes. Okay. So I don't. It's not in your written report, but in your spoken report, I think you referred to Uprising as a Los Angeles-based program. And I haven't listened to every single program, but I listen to it frequently. And I've never heard anything on that program that seemed to me was Los Angeles-based. And I don't get that criticism. You know, people can, I mean, it's Los Angeles-based in that the woman who puts the program on is in a studio in Los Angeles. But Mitch Jesuit's program, which is based in Berkeley, is broadcast not only on other Pacifica stations, but on a number of our affiliate stations. And I don't think anybody calls his program Berkeley-based. So that bothers me. I feel like that's an unfair judgment and a kind of spin on the program. People can have all welcome to criticize the program, but I don't think that's a fair criticism.
I'd like to speak to that if possible and just say that I think our main concern is with the loss of the morning mix. There was a lot of community input into the program, and there is an expression at the meetings that there is not the same level of community input and community connection. I know that there have been on Uprising some guests who were from the Bay Area. There have also been a number of guests from the Los Angeles area. Anything else?
Janet, use a microphone.
There's one somewhere.
Right, so about the first Fridays, so you mentioned Richard Porotsky and Maria Negrete, who's here. So I'm wondering whether Maria or somehow there could be a communication with the new general manager to take that on and try to partner with First Fridays.
Oh, it's on. Okay, I'm sorry. Carol and I just really started talking about this, and it's just one more thing on my to-do list. And yeah, this whole next week, actually it'll take a lot longer to get the new general manager on board, but I would imagine he'd be fine with that too. I can't speak for him, but.
Can you clarify, what do you mean by partner?
Yeah, so we got a communication from First Friday asking, because we had requested a table there as the cab, and they emailed us back and asked that they said that they were very interested in developing a partnership, a relationship with KPFA as a co-sponsor, so that, and I explained that we don't have a lot of money in terms of, because some of the other media sponsors at First Friday contribute money and then they get recognition, and I explained that, and she said that there are other ways to work, so there might be other ways that KPFA would have a sponsorship relationship with First Friday, and we would get publicity and have a table there regularly, and they would have a connection with KPFA also, and maybe some kind of presence on KPFA. I'm not sure exactly how that would work out, and we're just beginning to explore what that would look like, and it involves some negotiations, but what I can say is it's amazing. There are so many people just being there at a table and having KPFA literature and having people asking about the station and giving input about what kinds of things they're interested in has been a really rich experience, and I think it could build listenership a lot.
I love First Friday, and I love the idea of KPFA being more involved with it. I say this only as someone looking at the distressed state of the network's finances and the amount that's already on Maria's plate. If it's not a question of us rebudgeting to give money to First Friday, which I don't think is something you're discussing, then I don't know why she has to be in the middle of the conversation. It sounds like you're talking about maybe on-air promotion and a tabling presence.
It is on-air promotion, I think, is the basis of what we're talking about. And when I
which doesn't involve Maria's job at all.
Actually, Richard Perotsky, when I spoke with him about it, he said that Maria is the person who does work out those sponsorship relationships. And
it's been added to my list.
Jesus. Okay, let's not worry about this here. Okay. But great. Okay. Terrific.
Good work.
Right, good work.
Sorry.
All right, KFCF report.
Do not have one.
Do not have one. Old business. Andrea's not here. David's not here. So I think we're going to Resolution B regarding the morning mix. And it is my understanding that what happened last meeting was that Margie made a substitute motion to Janet's, and it was ruled by Ramses as not a substitute, and the body overruled him. And so we are now considering we are now considering the substitute motion that was, is at the back of the page of the resolution, the second page, back of the page, substitute motion on morning mix. Do you want to read it, Margie, with a microphone?
With a microphone. The KPFA LSB strongly supports local control of our radio station. The KPFA LSB supports coverage of local, regional, there should be a comma between local and regional, local, regional, national, and international issues. KPFA has a long history of covering Bay Area issues, and we urge station management, to continue to find ways to provide quality programming in all of these areas. If I type this, I apologize to all of you.
All right, and there was a second, I'm sure, last week, but so this is what's before us. On discussion, Margie, you want to motivate your motion?
Sure. I strongly support local programming, and I think probably everybody on this board does. I think maybe we have different ideas of what that means. For me, it means that on a regular basis, things that happen in the Bay Area, in sort of the general region of the Bay Area, are reported regularly both on public affairs programs and through the news department, and that we need to monitor ourselves on that and make sure that that's happening. But I also think that KPFA has to talk about larger regional issues, Northern California, and national issues and international issues. And I think it's a very difficult kind of jockeying to make sure that all of those things are covered in our programming. Would help a great deal if we had a program director, and I'm happy to tell you that the search committee is working very hard to find a program director for us, because I think that that's the kind of thing that a program director has to monitor and take action on to make sure that these things happen. I also, I know I'm old, and I know I've been around a long time, and you don't want to hear about that, but I'll tell you that I've been listening to KPFA for a very long time, and KPFA has, I think, a sterling history of reporting on local news and local events and local activities. That was one of the main functions of the old morning show, and I really appreciated it, and I listened to it all the time. It had, for example, a regular segment on labor where David Bacon came on every Wednesday morning, I remember it well, to talk about labor issues. And sometimes he talked about things that were happening in other parts of the world. Sometimes he talked about things that were happening on the California-Mexico border. Sometimes he talked about things that were happening locally. But we had regular labor news that was shared with the listening community. I feel like that, so I have a certain, I admit, I have a certain resentment, I think, to the idea that somehow this notion of local news, local reporting, local coverage is new. It's not new, but it certainly needs, I agree absolutely that we need to monitor it and support it and make sure that it is a consistent part of our programming. So that's why I propose this substitute motion.
Point of information.
Oh, and I just want to say, on
you've got 30 seconds.
Okay, on the main motion, I couldn't possibly vote for it because I think there are things in there.
That's off the subject.
Okay, never mind. Goodbye,
Janet.
So your first sentence, KPFA LSB strongly supports local control of our radio station. Can you explain what you mean by local control, or are you talking about local control of programming at our radio station?
What I mean by local control is programming and hiring decisions that are clearly ours as a result of what's contained in the bylaws. I'm referring to a number of breaches that have happened over recent years where...
Like removing the morning show.
And refusing to hire a GM from a pool that was submitted to the executive director under the protocols of the bylaws. So, I mean, local control, as in we get to do the things that we're responsible for in the bylaws instead of having the national office come in and impose things on us.
Brian?
I strongly support the substitute because I think it is the direction we need to talk about and doesn't get into specifics. I think, obviously, in our medium, radio, local coverage is incredibly important. It's one of the things people expect of us. I also think almost no one tunes in wanting just local news. People want the same thing out of their radio station that they want out of a morning newspaper. They want to find out what's happening in the world next door, in City Hall, in the state capitol, in Washington, in the Middle East, whatever it is. And I think we produce excellent coverage and we carry excellent national programs like Democracy Now! But what we haven't grappled with much is creating formats where people get both at the same time. And the average commute length in the Bay Area is 23 minutes, right? Most people are not listening for 2 hours straight in morning to get an hour of local and then an hour of national. Now, the way, for instance, NPR addresses this is one of the smart things I think they do. They format Morning Edition and All Things Considered so that local stations can break away for chunks, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 8 minutes. There's different increments they can take out of a half hour. And drop in local coverage so that in a relatively short span of time, people get a mix. That's a direction we started to move in with our evening newscast when we merged our resources with KPFK so that now for 15 minutes of that newscast, there's a portion of the broadcast where we're only broadcasting locally and KPFK is originating its own local newscast to carry things that'll be of interest to their listeners, but not ours. And I think the challenge to us is to figure out how to work out those kinds of collaborations, those kind of formats, so that we can both take advantages of our economies of scale as a network, right? Not duplicate each other's coverage of national and international issues, but also ensure that local content is more evenly distributed throughout the day. And I think that this motion gives us the room to have that kind of conversation.
Ramses.
So a couple of things. One, and I was chairing the meeting at the point where this motion came up last month, and I feel like we were kind of rushed and trying to just get the meeting over, and this is why it carried over into this meeting, because we were running out of time, but I still believe that this, on a technical aspect, this is not a legit substitute motion. The fact that it's... The substitute motion doesn't even mention the morning mix at all, completely makes this motion stand out on its own and fully apart from the original motion. Therefore, it should just be its own motion. We probably should have just voted for the original motion, yes or no, and then moved on to this motion separately, right? So on a technical aspect, I still believe we should have done should have taken that route instead. But I do appreciate hearing from some folks in favor of the of this motion today that, you know, feelings and ideas around, you know, how to cover local coverage, you know, but I think going back to listening to what everybody was saying about the morning mix and the public comments and petitions and whatnot, there should have been a lot more finesse about how to, you know, go about this issue than just one day to the next morning mix is gone. You know, people are still really upset about it. And in that sense, I feel like it's not helping us any further to completely throw out the original resolution and go into one that doesn't even mention it at all. And most people wouldn't understand that this has anything to do with the morning mix in the first place. So I'm a little conflicted about it on the technical part, but at least it's nice to hear that there's some ideas about how to do local coverage. I wish things could have gone in a much better direction with the morning mix decision than what we have now. And those are my thoughts right now.
Frank.
Hello, everyone. I agree with what Ramsey says about it not being a substitute motion. It doesn't mention the morning mix at all. And I think that I would support the original motion, even though I wasn't here, and now I've been reading it and catching up that I wasn't here last month. Because I feel like the whole decision, like Ramsey said, was destroying or disbanding the morning mix, you know, was done wrong. You know, I too was a fan of the old morning show, but I feel that having the mix was more equitable for everyone. Being someone that works on a show at KPFA doesn't really, it's not my show. I'm just like a participant in other people having a show. Trying to get something on the air, I could always go to them. I could fish around a station. And before I can go to Brian, I can go to all the morning mix people. You know, now I'm kind of stuck. If I want something in the morning, I can go to Brian. Maybe I can send an email to Sonali. But there's not, you know, the variety, there's the different people that you can connect with and try to, you know, get something on there. So I would support the original motion. There's still a lot of people upset about the morning mix and that it's not there. And just because it's died down a little bit, I, for one, will be encouraging the new manager to try to make the switch back, put back the morning mix. You know, a lot of people will shake their head, sure. But, you know, I disagree with them bringing the other show up like this and just having, like, the two people. Who are people going to contact if they want to get something on the morning? Brian. It's all we got left. We will go to Brian and ask for something to get on the air in the morning. And I didn't even hear that. It was so low. But it's just, I would just still support the original one. We still are in the fight to bring back the morning mix. I feel like the morning mix should be returned. There should at least be discussion on it the way it was done. Some people say it was planned a year ago or it was in the works. And the original time when it happened, everybody in the station was like, what's going on with all these program changes? There's, you know, where's the discussion? There was none. It went off until, you know, a few months later. It was almost happening again. There was a little more discussion, but I would just support the original motion and would not support the not substitute motion.
And for his first statement, David Landau, welcome to the board.
Oh, okay. Yes, you are. No, I'm. I just don't know whether what I have here is germane because we're talking about we have a motion on the floor, but I do have something here called a substitute for the substitute motion on the morning mix.
I think that is probably. Amendments can be made to the original substitute motion entire. Probably you can make a motion to the. You can amend the substitute motion. You can substitute a substitute motion, except that there's a person here who's going to make who's a Robert's Rules person.
Maven. And he, right.
Go ahead, Mark. Mike.
Substitute motion has to be dealt with first.
No, I don't think so, because a substitute motion is a kind of a motion to amend, And
right, but you can't.
So you can amend. You can amend.
Yes.
A substitute motion. And so since a substitute motion is a motion to amend, it's a substitute motion, you can amend the substitute. So he can substitute you can the substitute. Yeah, how many peppers?
You can amend the substitute motion, but you can't put another substitute motion while the substitute motion is on the floor.
I believe that the motion to amend, I'm the chair here, I'm going to rule on this, and then if people want to overrule the chair, you can go for it. So, my ruling is that a substitute motion is a form of a motion to amend, and a substitute motion may be amended, and therefore the substitute motion may be put on the floor. David.
Thank you. This is the substitute for the substitute motion. No program shall be rescheduled or canceled based on how much money it raises. Every programmer shall have access to all Fund Drive premiums. Programmers should be allowed to select and add premiums appropriate to their audience to the general list. The GM shall have a conversation with programmers to explain the Fund Drive process and discuss the programmer's concerns.
You want to motivate that?
Write it down, too.
You've got to send it over here, and I'd like you to motivate that. Especially in light of all the discussion we've had about our money situation. You want to go?
I think I'll just leave it at that.
All right. So now we're discussing this. No program shall be rescheduled or canceled based on how much money it raises. Every programmer shall have access to all Fund Drive premiums, and programmers should be allowed to select and add premiums appropriate to their audience for the general list. The GM shall have a conversation with the programmers to explain the Fund Drive process and discuss the programmer's concern. Really? There's a second? I presume Janet, since I think it came from Janet.
Question.
Call the question.
No.
Okay.
Is this to replace both the substitute motion and the main morning mix motion that preceded it? Like procedurally. So this would, should this prevail, it would be the only thing we're voting on. That's, I'm just trying to make sure we're all on the same page. Yes, okay.
Okay. On discussion. Brian.
I just personally think it's ludicrous to not take fundraising into consideration. As an organization, we're devoted to operating without underwriting. That means the only thing we have to pay our bills is a trickle of money from the CPP that we're not getting anymore, and the money our stations raise during Fund Drive. And I am completely comfortable with and embrace the fact that there are many programs we put on the air that because of what they're doing and who they're trying to reach are not going to raise enough to cover their share of the station's expenses. But the station still has that expenses, and that means there need to be places in our station's programming schedule where we have shows that raise more than their fair share. And it is management's job to make sure at the end of the day that those things balance out and we can pay our bills. And to create a blanket rule that fundraising is never going to be a consideration in programming is a form of financial suicide. I think it would be irresponsible of us as a board to impose that.
Janet.
Hey.
David. Barbara Ramses.
Well, I just want to let people know that this is basically the same resolution that passed at the KPFK LSB almost unanimously at their last meeting. And one of the differences between KPFK and KPFA is that they have many fewer paid staff there. So when it comes to raising money, when it comes to raising money, What's not spoken on the air is money is, it's like, oh, we need to raise money to keep the electricity on and the phones running. But it's mainly in order to pay paid staff. And so I think we need to look at that, that issue. So is it staff raising money to pay themselves? I mean, that keeps on, that's an issue that I think we should all look into.
David, Barbara Ramsey.
Do you understand what the phrase listener-sponsored radio means, sir? I'm sorry. I want to make some comments. This is an idiotic proposition. This radio station has to function as a radio station first and foremost. All of these other community desires and wishes are well and good, and as Brian said, they are taken into account. But a responsible radio station has to survive as a radio station. Okay? None of this other shit matters if the station goes down the drain.
Breathe. Okay. No crosstalk. Barb.
I just want to bring up the point that all of this concern is being expressed in a way of encroaching on management. And we do not have this responsibility. We can have our opinions as listeners, but we are not the managers. And we are trying, or people who write these resolutions are trying to take over the management or alter the job description of the manager, saying they're going to answer to us. That's not in the bylaws. This is a management issue.
All right, so I am I'm realizing that the room got quickly divided with this substitute motion, and I feel like it's beyond the motion itself, but it gets at the root of how a lot of us think about the station and the programming. I think this issue deserves a better venue and space to discuss. It's hard for me to hear certain, it's hard for me to see a substitute motion dropped in like this, because I don't like when motions are dropped in a way that just feels like it could be divisive and not necessarily move us in a better direction. But at the same time, I appreciate that it's said, because I feel now like, well, then why was the morning mix cut, right? Like, it's my first instinct. I've never heard an actual, thorough explanation for it, and I feel like it's coming. I've been listening, but it's hard, to see that this comes out and people are, some thoughts are kind of along the lines of, like, we have to definitely take this into account. We don't, our listeners a lot of listeners have an interpretation that KPFA already doesn't do this, right, that we value content over fundraising. But I know at the same time, realistically, we have to have some kind of balance, right? And I feel like that there's like this ball in the room going from one side to the next, like a ping pong ball back and forth, on very polar opposites of how we think of issues at KPFA, right? And it's just very, very confusing, and it's very difficult, I think, for me to deal, like, understanding this when I don't feel like this space right now, this moment, it's actually productive towards arriving at this, right? And I think we need to figure a way to actually get at this that's not in this setting. Towards the end of the meeting, people are feeling tired. Some people left. Nobody knew we were going to discuss a much larger issue today, but it showed itself in the motion, which legitimately has been brought, right? We have to vote yes or no on it. I'm still not sure how to vote on it. I don't feel like it's going to pass, but I feel like obviously we need to admit that there's bigger issues at work here that we need to really resolve, or this board's going to continue to be divided over and over and over again, because a lot of the listenership and people involved with the station feel either this way or that way, and that's where we're at.
Mark, Paula, Frank. Mm-hmm. Mark. Okay.
Right. An underlying problem with this motion is that it's going to end premiums at the station. By its design and language, everyone has to have the same premiums available to them. So when David gets 8 tickets to his concert, he's now going to be forced to provide tickets for anybody else who wants to put them on their program. This is the larger consequence that people don't think about when they put these motions together. KPFK is now realizing what they've done and are reconsidering this motion. It also comes about from people who really don't understand economics or radio operations. As is stated, you can't run a station on volunteers. You have to have money, even without paid staff, to pay the bills for power, to pay for taxes, to pay for insurance, to pay for licensing, legal fees. That alone justifies having programs which pay the bills. And to deny that is basically to kill the station. Paid staff comes into it because they have skill sets. Skill sets that volunteers may, but more likely may not, carry with them. These could be contacts. These could be certifications. These could be licenses. For example, you want to get rid of paid staff? Then you get rid of their chief engineer. You get rid of our chief engineer, who is going to be coming from the community to replace him, carrying the FCC-granted license for the technical skills he has to maintain the equipment? Then you start making exceptions. Well, who is and is not going to get paid? And that's when you start getting into the cronyism. But that's a hypothetical, although we have seen it before in the past. The station has to be able to decide one way or the other how a program performs. First and foremost are always going to be the license requirements. Does it meet the needs of the demographic community? Not the activist community, not any individual community, but does it meet the needs of the people that the signal reaches, regardless of what their affiliations, associations
seconds.
Are? But on top of all that, the programs have to pay the bills. Whether it's a buck, whether it's $1,000, whether it's $10,000. To eliminate that as a reason for a program to be on the air is basically to commit suicide.
Frank.
You've got the thing. Go ahead, Frank. Oh, Paula. I'm sorry. It's Paula next.
She needs a microphone.
I have one. Okay. In terms of, process, I think that it's something that we need to have longer, as Ramsey says, longer discussions about over a period of time, not just suddenly the last minute here with part of the people missing. And for example, when I recently was reading this, Minsky's long essay, which I don't know how many of you are familiar with that, but in that essay, he is talking about ways to deal with program turnover or how long programs should be on the air, all kinds of things like that, which I think would be really good for us to have to discuss, because I don't think we do have a process, and I think we also need to monitor what we do have in some kind of designed way of monitoring it. And I think that this business about having, a process is a valid concern. But I think we need to discuss it a lot more. And let's see, what was the other thing? Oh, I forgot.
Must be something about Finland.
No.
The Armenians.
Okay, well,
You can come back. How's that? Let's go to Frank and Janet, and you can come back.
Yeah. I just want to see more discussions about what rules should we be following, and mainly that we should have local control, and the manager should be able to manage.
Frank.
Okay, I kind of feel the spirit of that motion that went out, and you know, in the manager's statement or whatever, or Save KPFA's thing, they praised, you know, the move was a financial move to put in Sonali's show because she performed so well in the little trial period or whatever it was. And that's why I feel the spirit of the motion is that we should have some consideration. You know, the Morning Mix could raise funds. It wasn't like raising nothing. You know, it could raise funds. With a little more help, it could raise more funds. And I already went through my whole spiel about how I think the inequity of just two people, you know, where do we go, emails and all that. You already heard all that. But I feel like it would be something to consider to not only consider monetary issues in programming changes like that without at least some discussion, you know, with the people. You know, can we make that show better? Can it perform better? I'll use that word, you know, as money, income, perform better in the fund drives. Well, maybe there's ways to help shows generate more funds instead of just cutting them and replacing them with a show that did well for a couple weeks, you know. And we did have, you know, the volunteer. It was voluntary, the Morning Mix, so there wasn't much cost associated with it. So, you know, maybe with some help, they could have generated the funds that would make them perform well. So I still, like I said, feeling the spirit of that. And, you know, maybe KPFK, you said that they are feeling some pains from passing that motion. Maybe we should have more discussion and look into, well, what did and didn't work with their motion, you know. No, we're not going to make everybody have tickets to every concert that somebody comes up with. But if there's premiums that are available to some that are, you know, open, then we should all be able to have them. If that's happening now, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But, you know, why not have a resolution for that? But I still feel the spirit of the original one, which was more Morning Mix based. I think the discussion's kind of getting lost. There's, like Ramsey said, all these other bigger discussions to have, you know, should money be the only factor in cutting a show without some discussion or with some help? Maybe it shouldn't be. You know, some people feel like it should. Some people feel like it shouldn't. Maybe there's a medium space we could find. But I feel like going back to the original resolution is back to the Morning Mix is where everything is getting lost in these substitute motions. And I think the original reason for that motion was to just show some support for Morning Mix, discuss that issue. So I would like to see both these substitute ones just fail and go back to the original one. And I got 30 seconds, so I'll just continue for that 30 seconds.
Although you're not talking on the motion, you're talking on something that's not on the floor, and I'm being generous.
Is that what's happening? All right, well, I hope the other two fail and that we can get back to the original one. Although I feel the spirit of that.
We all hope for world peace. I have Janet, and then Paula, and then Lewis.
Yeah, the reason Richard Perotsky gave for changing the Morning Mix or canceling the Morning Mix was because it wasn't raising enough money. Along with what Frank said, it was not getting support, and I'm not even sure about how the premiums work. But this motion, or this substitute motion, is basically a way to even the playing field, and I mean, there should not be an exclusive set of people who have access to certain premiums. That's one thing. And if that's that seems to be the case, but we need to get away from premium-driven fundraising anyway, and so we need to improve our programming in general. But I mean, anyway, I support this motion.
What? Oh, great. Okay. Paula, did you want to talk again or no? Lewis.
Was my turn?
Yes.
We're in a situation which we cannot go forward positively if we continue to see it as the Morning Mix versus what our problems are. First of all, what the real problem with the morning mix was the process, not the programming. It was the process, and that's why we have people and other organizations yelping at our heels about the change. But I'm going to remind you all that the change came about from someone who is leaving us, you know, so they don't have to face the responsibility of that change. But I would hope we could find two things. One is that we recognize that the methods we use in dealing with each other are the methods of the oppressor, which is competition. And maybe we can find some cooperative ways to deal with each other. And that's one way we can move forward. We really need to change our tenure and how we deal with each other. That's as important as what we deal, is how we deal with each other. And I think we have to move to a more, in order to be an effective board, we're going to have to move to a more cooperative method of dealing with each other.
Craig.
Okay, well, I want to speak to the substitute motion that's on the floor, and I have it in front of me. And there are essentially two parts to this. One says that no program shall be rescheduled or canceled based on the money it raises. That's part one. Part two has to do with internal processes, programmers having access to fund drive premiums, premiums appropriate to their audience, GM having a conversation with programmers, et cetera, et cetera. So essentially two parts to this. If this passed at KPFK, that's because it reflects conditions at KPFK that aren't necessarily relevant here at KPFA. All part two here is something that is a matter of discussion and management between the programmers and between the manager. And it's not appropriate for us to get involved in that. That's micromanaging. And I don't even know if there's evidence to support these contentions that you know these things should happen. There's been no discussion, no reports on this in previous meetings, so it's entirely unsupported. As far as whether programs should be evaluated based on how much money they raise, I think it's irresponsible for a management and for a board to make decisions without considering those factors. I just want to point out that the Morning Mix was on the air for 3 years, a year and a half of which they had the entire 7 to 9 drive time to themselves. And the fact is, they couldn't raise the money that was promised. They couldn't do it. They failed. Andrew Phillips started up front because the Morning Mix couldn't do it. And it's not because the Morning Mix didn't have the resources. Richard Perotsky has said that programmers there had offers of training, offers of support, offers of coaching from Goalbusters and so forth. Some of them took it up, and many didn't. So it's not like it wasn't there. I mean, the fact I think we need to realize here is that they couldn't do it. And I don't think it's inappropriate for management to look at that situation and make decisions that incorporate not just the subject matter, but the ability to raise money and keep the lights on and keep things running at the station. So, I want to urge us to vote against this, and I want to call a question on this because I think we've had it. I can't do that? I spoke already. Oh, well, boy, is that unfair. Okay.
Barb.
I thought Margie. Well,
she's.
Did you
want to
talk?
Oh. I call the question.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. Okay. All those in favor of calling the question? Signify by saying aye. Okay, everybody's for calling the question except the maker of the motion. You're for? Okay. He's abstained. Okay. Is there any objection to calling the question? Okay. Now we're voting on the substitute to the substitute, which the secretary will read.
Okay. No program shall be rescheduled or canceled based on how much money it raises, Every programmer shall have access to all Fund Drive premiums, and programmers should be allowed to select and add premiums appropriate to their audience to the general list. The general manager shall have a conversation with the programmers to explain the Fund Drive process and discuss the programmers' concerns.
All in favor, please signify by saying aye. Or raise your hand. I have two votes. All two yes. All those opposed, please raise your hand. I see one, two. Nine no's. Abstentions. Two. All right. Now we go to the original substitute motion, which is, I'm going to read it instead of passing the damn mic. The KPFA LSB strongly supports local control of our radio station. The KPFA LSB supports coverage of local, regional, national, international news issues. KPFA has a long history of covering Bay Area issues, and we urge station management to continue to find ways to provide quality programming in all of these areas. I'm also going to say that we have had discussion. I was very loose on the content of the discussion of the substitute motion. I allowed for discussion of the substitute, and also of the original morning mix motion. And so I suggest that we should not go on interminably, but Janet wants to speak.
I'd like to move to separate the first sentence from the rest of it. Can we?
Okay. Can we divide the room? Can people like get up and go to the side of the room? Isn't that that's in Robert's rules, right? Okay. All those in favor of separating this, dividing this, please raise your hand. Four.
I have a procedural question.
Oh, great. Go ahead. Go ahead.
How can you divide something when it's a substitute?
Right, it's already been voted as a substitute. We're just going to vote on this. It's a substitute. It was voted as a substitute. You already allowed a motion to amend it. We're going to vote on this. Do you want to have debate on this some more, or is there a call the question?
Can I just clarify? I don't want Janet to feel steamrolled here.
Okay.
If it substitutes for the main motion, I think you could divide it at that point. But until we've decided whether this takes the place of that main motion, you can't split it in two and then have... It's not a motion yet. It's a substitute. It's a pending substitute. Does that make sense?
Great. Okay. So first we're going to vote on whether or not this becomes the main motion. All those in favor of this becoming the main motion, please raise your hands. Nine yes. All those opposed? Three. Abstentions. One. Okay. Now, it's the main motion.
I move to divide. The first sentence being one part and then everything else another part.
Is there a second? Second. Okay, so on the motion, on the amendment to divide, are we going to have a conversation? Who can I get the list of talkers? Okay, non-debatable. Okay, so you could be wrong. Be quiet. Okay, all those in favor of dividing the motion, please raise your hands. 3. All those opposed? All those opposed? 9. Abstaining? 1. Thank you. Let me note for the record, it was a different abstention on this one than on the previous question. For the record. I won't name names. All right. Now we are voting on this question. All those in favor of the motion, the KPFA LSB strongly supports local control of our radio station. The KPFA LSB supports coverage of local, regional, national, and international issues. KPFA has a long history of covering Bay Area issues, and we urge station management to continue to find ways to provide quality programming in all of these areas. All those in favor, raise your hands. Is it 11? It was 11. Yeah. 11. 11. All those opposed? 2. All those abstaining? 2. You're against that? Let's have your names. Okay. All right. Okay. Now we have local community programming. What is that? Okay, she's not here.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I was just pointing out there's a typo in the motion that makes it kind of different. If there should be a comma between local and regional.
We noted that. She noted that. It's okay. Right. We're not worrying about there's those. There's another typo, which is the ought instead of to. Okay. I would like to entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor? All right, discussion. Da-da-da-da.